The Public Safety and Corrections Committee meeting to order for March 1st. And would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, approval of the minutes from February 1st and February 22nd. Any additions, corrections?
Yeah, I just wanted to add in
for the February 22nd minutes, we were talking about this full-time position. And I thought that Nate had mentioned in that discussion that when we went to full time, you know, there would be additional responsibilities added for what we were doing as well.
What position?
For the cook position out at the jail. It went from a part time to a full time position.
I can answer that. Probably really no additional responsibilities. It was more of the number of hours worked. So they'll still be doing
full time and everything. I stated that wrong. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. So we want to correct that. Anything else?
Your mic's not.
What's that?
Your mic's not on.
Yes, it is.
Join the meeting.
I'll talk louder. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. District attorney. Is the district attorney here?
Yes, but I'm muted for everybody's enjoyment.
All right, go ahead, Brooks.
So I just wanted to announce we have received from the Department of Criminal Justice Services a discovery reform grant. It tells us that we can get up to $370,000 to offset the cost that we had to undertake last year to initiate this Article 245 discovery reform thing, which was, as you well know, a very expensive undertaking for us. We had to hire two people as attorneys, two people as paralegals, a part-time investigator, and then there was some additional lift as far as computers and that kind of thing. So the number is, apparently the legislature set forth a number for the state, and then they broke it down based upon case numbers. And our allotment is $370,000. So whether we'll get that or not is up to the state as always, but they say we qualify for up to that amount under the grant. And we are putting together the package to justify that as we speak. We're working with Cheryl and Jim to get our county numbers together. And we'll submit that here in mid-March and see what happens. But there is some hope that we can actually offset some of that initial cost that was there before we brought in traffic diversion to offset some of those costs and continue. So our goal would be that maybe we can turn this discovery thing into a budget neutral situation. So that's it.
So it would be awarding acceptance of the grant up to that. What was the amount, Brooks? I have it.
It's $370,000 is what they have.
So we need a motion to accept this or submit the grant application. Is that what we're doing, or are we accepting the grant award?
It's a strange grant. They say we qualify. You've been awarded a grant for $370,000. Now prove to us you deserve it. So I think, Jack, you know the procedure here better than I do. My request would be that we approve accepting the $370,000 grant. We'll file the application, and we actually get a check. I guess a grant up to $370,000. When we get a check, we'll come back and do another application to accept whatever it is we receive.
I think if the committee and the legislature is comfortable, I think if you a motion to accept up to that amount, and then when we receive it, we can actually process it, because, you know, there's time frames for that paperwork to be done. And then you report back, or we report back, what is actually received.
Okay.
I'll make the motion. Up to 307.
All right.
So the way I understand this, we can go back and use this money to offset 2020 cost?
That's what the grant is for. Yes, is to offset that cost, which was, you know, our initial hires, the new computers we had to pick up, some of the other systems we had to put in place hardware wise to make this thing run. So I don't think we'll have any trouble putting together between us and other county departments the $370,000 number. And again, one of the good things is our case numbers are very high. Well, it's this time our high case numbers are helping us because we get more money than other counties who have lower case numbers.
So this is going to offset county costs from 2020.
That's correct. It'll go back into the county general fund.
What we like to hear.
That's rare for my office. I should jump up and down.
Is there an option there that the possibility of more after the 370 or if we show need?
They don't know the exact amount, but it's in that vicinity. So,
well, what they have said is it's up to 370. There was an overall fund set aside for the state by the legislature. They broke it down based upon percentages by how many criminal cases your county had as a part of the whole pot of criminal cases. So they figure out that's the cost sort of on a per case basis. This is what we get. So we're not going to get any more. And I doubt there'll be another grant after this. It'll be a one shot from the state, but who knows? We didn't expect this either.
Dahl, you'd have something?
Mr. Chairman, when they're done with this, I have a question for the district attorney too.
Yes, the exact number is $370,102.
Thanks, Dahl.
Yep. And it does appear to be just a one-time grant at this time. And they will, it's obviously probably, they'll talk about a year to year, depending on probably how the state budget works out. But at this time, it's just a one-time shot.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
I don't know, was he opposed?
No.
Aaron, you have a question for the district attorney?
Yeah. Brooks, I had a question on where you're at as far as the animal abuse cases and looking at the bonding procedures for those.
As far as someone was doing RFP process to find additional resources or folks to take the animals, and that's where we were going. That wasn't something that I was involved with. As far as our position is that we're now reviewing the cases on a case-by-case basis to determine if that's appropriate, and if it is, we'll go forward. So, that's what we will do. The question is, there were two pieces to that. One was our process, which I don't think we've been presented with a case since we've begun this discussion, Aaron. But we are going to go forward with it. Amanda Chafee does most of my animal cruelty cases. She is aware of that. We've had a discussion, and that's going to be our policy going forward. And when that's appropriate, we will do it. And when we have that kind of relief available under the statute, we will pursue it. The other piece of that was determining who was going to house animals in the non-bonding situations. And I thought that was an RFP going through the county attorney's office. That I'm not
sure. I think it's through the AIP committee. That was supposed to go through them. So we probably need to check there. You're on that committee anyways, aren't you, Aaron?
No.
No, not anymore? Okay. So we'll check on that. Okay, thanks. No.
Does that answer your question? Sorry.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure that you had the procedures in place on your end. So
yeah,
thank you.
It's, you know, for us, it's holding a hearing. It's one, getting the cases in, two, reviewing them and determining that issue exists, and then it's holding the hearing. So we are looking at every case for that possibility from now on.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brooks. Thanks, Noel.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Just a question to Brooks.
Sure.
Regarding driver diversion. Yes. And Jeff probably remind me how much we had budgeted and anticipated revenues for 2021. If we come in well above that, because this program turns out to be a hit, how is it that we figure out the allocation to the different departments? And where I'm going with this is I'm trying to figure out if the county comes into additional monies, and that the county portion that we retain and either your department gets or it goes to the sheriff's office, I would like to see us use that additional money to just put against the budget rather than to come up with additional things that we should be buying or spending the money on.
I think that's what we have always done, Scott. I mean, when we had this system in place the last time, we simply used that as revenue that offset additional costs in the office. And I believe the sheriff would be doing the same thing. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't do that. I mean, the allocation is these funds are to be used for, you know, prosecution, law enforcement, and to reimburse our towns and villages for those costs. I don't think our ticket numbers will never, you know, offset the towns and villages. So that portion is a non-issue. We'll continue to give some to local law enforcement. That number may go up. It's a percentage of what we have, and I think that's appropriate. And then as far as offsetting costs in our office, again, it would be something, you know, our first goal is to pay for the discovery unit and continue to be where we were before discovery came in place. That was one of our goals with this. If we can offset more costs, that's what we'll do. And that's what we did before. We used traffic diversion to offset some folks for that new 375 CPL section that we haven't really been able to get our feet under, that involves major offenses and seizing guns and that stuff. We haven't really addressed that as yet. And whatever else comes down the pike, but we have not used it for, we've not expanded the office using those funds, or gone out on a buying spree. We have instead of using additional monies or forfeiture monies, we've used that to do things like upgrade our computers and do other things. As opposed to spending them through the county budget. So it will be used to pay down our budget, essentially.
Okay.
So it seems to me when we ran this diversion program in the past, the money went into the general fund, the balance of that, and then it was allocated. That's the way it used to be.
Well, it all comes into the county. The old program was a county program until there was a change in the law. So the revenue was all county revenue, and the local law said where it went. This program has to be different because it has to be, they changed the local law. The county can't collect the money anymore. It can't be county money. It's got to be DA's office money. Doesn't change what I intend to do with it. And you guys control my budget. If I get an extra $10 and you want to reduce my budget by $10, that's what can happen and what will happen. The same thing for the sheriff. So it will not be a credit card that we can spend carte blanche for anything and everything. I would hope that what it will do is, and it has helped us in the past, offset some of those unexpected large expenses that we have in the office on an annual basis. It was helping us pay for things like transcripts and for expert witnesses. As you may be aware, we picked up another homicide over the weekend. That I think means, I don't know, 13, 14 pending in Steuben County right now. Once trials start back up, we're going to have some large numbers of expert witness fees and witness costs associated with those and other cases that are out there pending. So in years past, I've had to come to you guys and ask for additional funds to pay for transcripts because our grand jury numbers went up, for expert witnesses because those fees went up, for witness fees in general because we had more trials. This money will be used to offset that. That's what we did with it before. So I stopped coming to you in November begging because we're broke, because we had additional expenses. And then whatever's left goes to offset our budget somehow, and we'll figure that out. But we're not going to hire more people based upon the idea that we have additional revenue. We're not going to go out and buy, I don't know what else we get. I mean, we run our office the way it needs to be run, and don't, there isn't much fat, and there's no need for additional anything beyond that unless we have to have an expense. So.
Yeah, and I certainly understand.
You know what we budgeted this year?
Activity. If you have more cases, more investigations, more transcripts, that all makes sense that we would spend money on those. It's needed.
Right.
I just don't want any of our departments to get into the idea of, well, we're making more on this diversion than what we had planned, so let's come forward with these capital purchases we would like to get, or these other items we'd like to get. I don't want us to get into that mode.
And I have no reason to think we would, Scott. And we had some long-term capital plans. One was a CAC that we were using diversion money, setting aside for that. and we don't have to do that anymore. That was the one big capital plan we had floating out there. I don't have another long range, you know, high dollar capital plan that's all the agency and that kind of thing. The one thing that we may look to use some of those additional monies for is a countywide records management system for law enforcement. We've been discussing that with the sheriff. And again, that would save us long run a lot of money in discovery because it would speed the process for everybody. But that's sort of out in the offing, and we don't know if that's going to happen or not. That'd be a county cost no matter what anyway. So either we'd be eating it through the sheriff's office or through our office one way or the other. We'd have to sign on to that to sign up and pay for our portion no matter what.
So Jack, this is John. Do you have an amount, what was budgeted for 2021 for the diversion program in revenues?
Yep, $600,000, which is probably a conservative estimate. And, you know, to Brooks and everyone else's point, any allocation or reallocation of that fund, because it is a separate budget and that revenue just dumps into there, any reallocation of those revenues would have to come through standing committee and finance committee and probably the legislature based on the amount. So you folks would have to do something with that, or else it just accumulates in the general fund within that budget account.
So it'd be interesting to know what we have collected so far this year.
Noel, do you have some numbers on that right now?
Yes, we have approximately $110,000 as of the end of February. So we are anticipated to be probably over the $600,000 mark. And that was with the holiday tickets being, they're generally lower November through January, just simply due to the snow. And also the main contributor is the New York State Police, and their numbers are drastically down in regards to patrolmen within the county because of the hiring freeze at the state level.
So maybe at the end of June, you could give us an update as to where that's at.
Yes, sir. I can give you an update. I can send a monthly update if you want to the committee. I'll just include it in my reports. But right now we're well above the anticipated. I think we're like almost 4 or 5% above what I figured in regards to what we need to make the $600,000 per month. I think we're like almost 5% above that.
Brooks, different subject. Who makes the decision when trials will start back up? And what seems to be the holdup? I mean, if we can meet like this, I don't know, like we can't have trials start up.
You and I have the same concern.
Who makes the decision?
It's made by the chief administrative judge based upon recommendations made by the chief judge of New York State, Judge DiFiore. And, it has been a moving target for us. We set trial dates in March, and we're sending out information, and then we're told that's not going to happen. We have been told we're going to start again in April, and then we've been told again by different judges that it's not going to happen. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's set by OCA, basically. We have no control over it. We have said our job is to be ready when called. And we have told folks we are ready when called, and we'll do it however. We have facilities to do it. And as soon as they tell us, we will start again. And how it's going to happen, I don't know. Whether it's just our judges, and they try to make up the backlog over years, or whether they send down a number of visiting judges, I'm not sure. Prior to the pandemic, they were talking about sending in, sort of rotating judges out of Rochester to make up for our backlog. I think my annual report has gone out, Jack, but yeah, I addressed that a little bit, as we are under county court judge right now. And given the facilities investment that we've just made, I think as a legislature, and as a county, we should push OCA to give us another judge to speed this process up and get rid of that backlog when the time comes. But when that time will be is up to them and not us. And it's very frustrating. We have some trials scheduled in April. We should know in the next week or two if those are going to happen, because it's a 6-week lag to send out jury notices. Our judges hear one thing, then I talk to an administrative judge in Rochester, I'm told something else, and then her boss tells somebody else something else. So it's a moving target.
The answer is we just don't know.
The answer is we don't know and we have no control.
Okay, Kelly, you got a question.
I don't want to spend time on it today, but I was hoping maybe next month that we could get an update on COPE and perhaps if there's, you know, I'm sure that the whole backlog in the system is delaying some of that program as well, but I was just curious to hear what was going on with that as well. But that can be for next month.
I would just like to piggyback off of the question regarding the court system opening up. And I think we should consider a resolution to go to the Office of Court Administration requesting that they basically get the court system back up. Not only is it a problem for criminal matters and backlogs, but there are a lot of people with civil disputes that can't resolve them in front of a judge. And it has led to some very frustrated people that, and even I was talking to an attorney from Legal Aid, and he said, yeah, we've seen a lot more self-help where people are just, you know, taking things into their own hands. And when we have a civil society, it's kind of important to have a court system that's operating. So
who would you suggest?
I would just suggest that our committee maybe next month resolve to send something to OCA asking them to make haste on trying to get the court systems open.
And these are done by administrative order. So unlike the executive orders from the governor that were authorized by the legislator, we have the judicial branch of government, and it is set by the chief judicial judge of the state of New York. He issues administrative orders, just like the executive orders that have turned the valve off. We do get updates. There has not been a major change turning that valve back on in months, but it is opening up. They have started a grand jury process. There is a plan in that administrative order for the month of March to kind of turn the valve open a little bit. So I do see things being scheduled, but if you were to do a resolution, I think it would have to be to the chief administrative judge, because he makes the decisions. And then OCA locally by divisions of the state administer it based on your region. Completely so it's agree. Kind of a twofold mechanism.
So thank you.
Put a resolution together for next month.
Okay. Thanks.
Last month, Noel, you passed out a distribution of the breakdown of the funds that were distributed from the traffic diversion. And I didn't receive that. Could you email that to me?
To be honest with you, I don't know unless I could check my email. I can email one as soon as I finish this meeting to you.
That would be
to fine. Make sure that you got it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is Tim here?
Good morning. Okay. I have two items for you this morning. First is the OCV contract. This is for our Ready Steuben mobile app. The mobile app just recently went through an upgrade, so we've changed some of the design and the features of that. Looks pretty good, seems to be working well. Just a quick look of the application. We've got about 5,000 individuals right now that have the mobile app downloaded. And we'll continue to push folks to download that app as we can. So this contract is for the annual maintenance and support for the mobile app. It's $4,995, and it is grant funded through Homeland Security.
Motion.
I'll second it, and I have a discussion. As the number of downloaders goes up, does that price go up, or is it unlimited
for $49.95? It's pretty much stays flat. Yep.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carried.
All right. Second item is the a maintenance contract, service contract for Presentation Concepts Corporation, PCC. This is the company that installed all of our media and technology at the EOC. As you know, we've been in the EOC since the beginning of March. Or middle of March, working pretty much close to 7 days a week. We're on to 5 days a week now. We are in need of some upgrades to some of the technology in there as far as software upgrades and a couple of pieces of hardware that would be covered under this maintenance agreement with PCC. The maintenance agreement would be a one-year maintenance service contract for $1,900. And this, again, would be supported through Homeland Security grant funds.
Second it.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else?
Just a brief update. We continue to work with Motorola and the engineers on the radio project. We're looking at various different options right now to make the determination on which is the best route for us to take. We'll continue to keep you updated as we move through. Of course, I continue to keep Jack and Ms. Prosick updated as we move through the process.
So are the fire companies sitting out there getting a little alarmed over this situation because it hasn't happened?
Yeah, no pun intended, certainly. They're certainly eager to get things moving. You know, they wonder why it's taking so long. It is very technical. There's at least three engineers that are working on this process. So we're hoping that sometime this week we'll have some a little more clear direction on the direction we can take, and then we'll have to work through the other processes of it. So,
Ellie?
Well, the problem is that the companies are investing a substantial amount of money in radios and pagers, and they're starting to really get concerned that when we finally do get the system up and running, will this equipment still function properly? I know Hammondsport bought their equipment last year. My other district, we bought some of the equipment now, but we haven't bought pagers, and you're concerned about investing that level of money to operate on a system that we have no idea when it's going to be functioning. Sorry, Tim.
We'll continue to work with the engineers and continue to try to make it happen. That's about all I can tell you at this point in time. We're pushing every day. You know, I have a conference call or a telephone call with the engineering or with our consultants trying to work through this process. And we're working very hard to try to make it happen.
Appreciate your efforts, Tim.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Public defender, Sean here. Oh, there he is.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here this morning to request permission to sign the year two AmeriCorps contract. That's through the Rural Health Network. It is identical in almost all senses, with the exception of we have one particular position that it took us a year and 2 months to fill. We finally filled that, but the way that the contract works, they require a certain amount of hours out of that person before the end of the contract term. So it's shorter. There's less amount of hours and less amount of money dedicated to that position. So we've changed that. I've consulted with the law department on the contract. We had some additional language to add in terms of indemnity. We've done that, and AmeriCorps has sent the contract back to me. So it's in essence ready to go. This particular project is through the Harrell-Herring settlement and our quest to continue to do quality improvement for the department and for the community. And so instead of year one, which was approximately $14,000 for the cost of those two employees, this year it's $12,000 and some change because the hours went down from 1,700 to 1,200. Yes, it's we receive funding through Harrell Herring, and so we actually have more money than we originally allocated.
I was just wondering if you could explain what these people do. I don't
sure. The position that we've had for a year plus now is an outreach coordinator. And in non-COVID times, the idea was that this person was going to schedule opportunities and events in the community to discuss legal issues, to bring attention to substance abuse mental health issues and those sorts of things. And we would put together speakers and go to schools and that kind of activity. Since COVID, it's been primarily dedicated to our social media presence and handling a Facebook page and posting things there. So it's been limited, but we're carrying on. And hopefully when things open up, that'll become more productive again and we can actually meet with folks. The second position is what we're calling an intake liaison. And that person, their main function is when a case comes into the office, it can take some time for our attorneys to immediately reach out, go to the jail, call the jail, and get what I would call biographical information, but it's more than that. This is about immediately getting information about who you are, where you live, what needs you have, identify substance abuse issues, mental health issues, prepare data for bail arguments. And so this person puts together basically this intake sheet, and that's immediately transmitted back to the attorney, and then the attorney can begin action. So this is to expedite the contact between our office and the client as soon as the case is assigned.
Yep. Thanks.
Well, I would have a question on that as far as the intake. What happens when someone, I mean, most of those cases now, when you're arraigned, you're not going to jail. How are you making those contacts?
So when we get the financial information for them to apply to our office, we're given some contact information, mm-hmm. and this intake coordinator calls them at their home, sends letters. We try to get them to reach out and contact us, which is, unfortunately, it's often a very difficult thing to do to get clients to respond. And so to have this extra person pushing that and trying to get the information and get the contact, the client knows that we're invested in their case and they become more invested in their case.
What percentage of cases are you actually making the contact and getting what you need?
We don't know yet. So this individual just started.
Okay.
And we've been with one of my paralegals working on developing this form. So it's everything that the attorneys need. And once that's done, it's going to get shopped back around to all of our attorneys. And with their approval, we'll start making phone calls.
And so this should improve the process then, rather than leaving somebody sitting in a jail cell. Then if they need help, assistance, any of that other stuff, that's also going to help get coordinated. Is that correct?
Correct. We're going to get there faster, and hopefully it'll tip us off as to the things that need to be done right away.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you all.
Sheriff.
Morning.
Morning.
Happy March.
Thank God.
We have two grants to receive and one bid to get approval for. The first grant is the 2020-21 Community Traffic Safety Program Bicycle Safety in the total amount of $8,000. And that's $5,500 for overtime, $2,500 for supplies, and that comes from the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. We'd like approval to receive that.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carried.
How much was that again?
That was total $8,000. The second one is also from the Governor's Traffic Safety. It is the Child Safety Seat Program that does your car seats, and that's in the amount of $9,025. And we'd like approval to receive that.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And my third item is to renew the milk bid for the jail. And I don't know if it's a possibility, but we do this every year. Is there a possibility to do a resolution for, say, 3 years or longer? Or do we need to continue to do it every year?
We have to bid this every year?
Do you bid this every year?
Yes.
You did? What did the bid say when it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, we'd have to check that, because usually it says in there that has the right to renew or for 5 years, or right. We can check that. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. So
How do you know what the order when it's been fluctuating so much?
Our dietary is set by the state in the jail, so we order what we have to order per the approved dietary statement from the state. We don't have a whole lot of choice in what
we, if you can approve this and then look and see if we can get OSHA's thing extended out.
Yeah, I would say to approve based on what the bid was awarded, the terms and conditions of the bid. And then if it's more, we can keep it for the long duration. We'll let you know what the bid said itself. I'm not sure.
Did you say whether it changed from last year?
Last year it went up. Is Andy on?
Oh, there he is.
Yes, I am. So the bid is issued for 1 year. It's a commodity price product. So normally a vendor won't do a 3 year bid with renewals because the price fluctuates. I mean, we can check on that, but that's typically what the situation's been in the past.
So do we have a motion to approve this bid? Are we bidding this out at this point? Just bidding it? Okay.
Just have in there what the amount.
Kind of confused me here.
What's that? Oh, we're authorizing a bid to go out. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay. So I have a motion and a second. Yes. A further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, James.
We sneak those in. They weren't on the original
agenda. No, it was a tough decision I had to make this week.
I have a question for you. What was going on in Kansas Steel this week with the onslaught of sheriffs at the fire hall there?
Oh, we were teaching Tuesday night. We were teaching fire. Are you talking about that or something different?
No, this was during the day, all day. Had to have been 30 sheriff's cars there.
That was our part of your SWAT training. Oh. They were utilizing the fire department as a classroom and then going out to the Greenwood School to do perimeter and woodland techniques.
So, Tom, you want to get involved with that?
Yeah, I wasn't in the woods that day.
We always need
the roaming target.
You wouldn't have far to run with me.
I'm sure you'd be at a UTV. But that's what was going on. Twice every month, we do this to make sure that the development standards from the state throughout the year. And that was one of them. We use the Greenwood School quite a bit. It's a great training facility.
Whatever happened with that deal? It used to be there was a rumor going around that Alfred was going to buy it for training purposes.
There's been a lot of folks that were going to buy it for training purposes.
It never happened.
It just sits, yeah. At some point in time.
Sure wish somebody would.
Lose it. Yeah. Yep.
Good. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yep. No worries.
Jack, Chris.
Good on my end.
Are we dealing with goals today, Jack?
If you would like to, sir.
Okay, let her rip.
So we sent around the department goals. So all of the departments, listed their individual goals as noted. Obviously, 2020 was a different year, and a lot of goals got carried over from 2020 to 2021. Many were updated, but that was sent around, obviously, for your information, to answer any questions and such, and then also to inform any goals that any of your committees individually have. So I guess that's the question is, would you like to set a committee goal or two or three or not? Or what are we're obviously at your direction. So whatever you folks would like to do.
I don't know if any of the committee has had a chance to think over what our goals should be. Have you? Of course, my number one goal is district courts, but I don't know how we pursue that.
So it's not your decision to make, though, is it? That's what makes that kind of a goal tough.
Say that again.
I just said that a district court is not our decision to make, so it makes it a tough goal, hard to measure.
Go through the court system.
Right.
In order to maybe move that, but
one of our goals could be to harass them.
And it's easy to measure.
And I'm hopeful on that one that some of the internet teams Skyping that they do continues long term, because that would alleviate, I mean, I'm not saying just the district courts is not a great idea and don't disagree, but the way that the courts are working now with the appearances online, I do see a savings happening for the county.
I agree.
So there's discussion about that staying, some of that first and second appearances, which saves the county a lot of money, which that goal might be met in a different manner of money being saved. This internet could save money.
And hope it's okay. And certainly, you know, we'll take your direction. But, you know, in my conversations with the state, with OCA, you know, through the building project and also through NYSAC, we've had a number of conversations with and webinars with the chief administrative judge, myself. And I mean, there's a lot of others. I know Jen and Brooks and the sheriff and others are pushing on their side too, and Sean. We're advocating to, you know, leverage what we've all learned through technology and the efficiencies that we can have.
And just one quick suggestion, I'm just going to throw out there, the resolution Mr. Mullen asked for opening up the courts with OCA and the chief judge, maybe there should be a clause in there about maintaining some of this online version for cost savings. That would be a hybrid.
Good idea.
I like that suggestion.
Yeah, I like the idea of continuing to pursue the remote cap court. I know the sheriff and Brooks have been instrumental in driving that. I also think another goal that this committee and the whole legislature is going to have is to review, when it's finally done, the fire study for the county, the emergency service study.
Are you talking about fire services and EMS for the county as a whole and how it should be functioning, Scott?
Well, there's a study that's being done. It's a year late. Is it? I'm concerned. I mean, we paid $58,000 for the study. I'm concerned about what they're going to tell us. And I was concerned when we approved to do the study, because I don't think we want to know the real feedback. We can't afford what they're going to want us to do. And that's probably, in essence, going to a countywide fire services business, which, because of volunteerism dropping, it's going to turn to that someday. But I think, you know, analyzing that report and reacting to it in whatever way we can should also be a goal.
I agree. I was going to mention that I wasn't aware that this report was coming soon, but just our system as a whole needs to be considered.
So does that report, or what we asked for, does that include ambulance service or just fire services?
No, ambulance service. Yeah.
What I thought. So when do we think that report's going to come out?
They were finishing some surveys, Tim. Do you know? I haven't gotten a date. It's not. It's getting close, I would say, but Tim would have the date.
Yeah, they're in the final stages of the survey piece for surveying the agencies, as well as select public officials from across the county in regards to that process. Then they just compile the data and submit the reports. So I would anticipate, I don't know if it'll be the end of this month. I was hoping it would be the end of this month, but it may be in April before that final report is done. The data piece is all there. And collected. So now it's just the final, you know, putting the numbers and the details together. They've gotten most of the responses back from the EMS agencies. We do have a few stragglers on the EMS agencies that we've been chasing down, trying to get them to complete the data and get it back to them. And then the public official surveys, I believe, went out last week.
Yeah. I would say, Scott, that although delayed, and not anticipated because of COVID, I actually think we're capturing a better idea of what the landscape is, because we have seen some shifts that we note kind of on a daily basis out of the EOC in some response and coverage in about the past 6 months. So I think actually the delay is going to benefit us because we'll know what's truly out there. Where if, you know, it was done on time, what's happened in the past 6 months might have been missed. So yeah. I think actually it helps us a little bit because we are seeing a trend not in the right direction. Leave it at that. And then, you know, much more to come.
Okay.
Just one more question on that. Does that include an inventory list of these different departments?
So basically what they were looking at is they're looking at budget, you know, call data, you know, how many calls they have, how many responders they have. So it's not really looking at an inventory of apparatus because we know how much apparatus is out there, but certainly the number of EMTs, the number of drivers, the, you know, the budgets that are associated with the EMS agencies. You know, some EMS agencies run under the fire service. Some EMS agencies are independent. You know, some of them are non-for-profit. Some of them are for-profit. So we have a very big, broad mix. And we find that those agencies that are under a fire department have a very small, very limited operating budget versus those that are more independent or, you know, nonprofit.
Well, you already do have a list of what equipment, fire trucks, that kind of thing.
Oh, yes. Okay. Absolutely. Yes.
So I guess our goals are. Yes. Who's that?
Yes, it's Steve.
Okay, Steve.
If I could just swing back to the goals, one general and one particular thing. I think if every committee, and this is a general comment, unless a committee has met their goals from the year before, I don't know how valuable it is to keep setting new ones until either we have A, met the old ones, or B, made a determination that the old ones aren't going to be feasible anymore. Then you're just piling on, and it doesn't seem like things ever reach a conclusion. And I'll just talk about the particular of the district court thing, which I know we set as a goal a couple of years ago. You know, in my mind, it's not just about saving money. It's also about courts being more responsive because it's very tough sometimes to get a hold of a court. If, you know, when you have 40 something courts, some of which meet once a month or, you know, something like that. So it's tough to get responses from other courts, from courts. And as far as the centrality of it would make a great difference. So just my two thoughts on those matters.
So we didn't do goals last year, Steve, because
exactly.
We would have. But then everything come crashing down in March, so we just put them off.
I also think the priorities change. I mean, you have things that come up that make it so that you have to adjust your goals. So I don't think we should just pile on a bunch of new things if we haven't accomplished anything we set out to do before. But there's naturally going to be things that we need to reprioritize.
Yeah, to me, the thing about goals with the legislature is it makes us be more proactive to actually have a purpose and try to work towards achieving something versus being just reactionary to whatever is brought in front of us every month. So that's why I think goals are important.
So basically we're sitting out here and what I see is a couple goals. One is to receive this report and fire services and ambulance services, review it and take a look at long-term, you know, what our long-term plan is. And the other thing is pursue what we're doing through a resolution at this point, sitting out there. And I don't think we should take on any more than that at this point. Go ahead.
Well, I did just have one more thing that I wanted to mention, which is the drug rehabilitation that's part of the sheriff's drug program. I know that's been hanging out there for a while, so I think it would be good to just continue prodding on that as well.
I think he stated that in his goals. Did everybody get copy this off your goals, everybody's department goals?
No.
No.
Well, it was emailed to you. So the thing of it is, maybe you ought to get a hold of this thing and go through it. So,
well, I guess I should. I don't remember getting it.
I just wanted to say, you have to remember when you're establishing goals that they have to be things that are within our ability to achieve. So we can say that we want to make a push toward a district court, but the push is the goal. It's not a decision that we get to make. So it's difficult. You have to make sure that your goals are measurable and achievable. So that is the point, that as we discuss these kinds of goals, that is what the goal should be.
And the reason I bring up district courts, because there are counties with district courts in them. We need to research that. And I've started that, how that county got to that point.
Excellent. So. And that's an excellent goal.
It needs to be voted on, for one thing, in our area. We had looked at that, you know, years ago.
It's a complicated constitutional state legislature issue. And Mr. Malter and I started working on it beginning of March. And in April, I asked, can I stop working on this? I have too many things on my plate. So I can start that back up if you want to.
Well, I have just a folder
some
on
research.
So, anybody else got any goals they want to bring up? Go ahead.
Not a goal. I just wondered if you know who that email came from, because I didn't get it either.
Jack,
hello. I got it too. Came in on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday afternoon for me.
So there were two of them. One was the annual report of the departments, and the other one was the goals.
Oh, I do have it then.
Yeah. So you probably need to send that out again, Jack.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. All right. So where are we at? Are we happy with the two goals that we're looking at this point?
Yes.
And just go from there? Okay. Anybody have anything else? Jack?
All set. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Done quickly. The motion to adjourn always
gets done very quickly. That's opposed either
The governor giving his good speech. We got the oath. Yes, like giving our good speech. That's all we do is react. How the hell can we be proactive? We don't.